You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Commander Tom. Welcome to the American Hour. Thank you for joining us. And, of course, my lovely co-host, Paula Lazan-Osman, is joining us from Boston Live. Paula, how are you today?
Oh, an excellent, Tom. How are you?
Good. Good. Now, we've got a big show coming up on Friday, and unfortunately, Paula, the soccer mom is going to be at a soccer game, so she won't be joining us necessarily. Maybe you might have a chance to call in. But we're teaming up with Michael Cutler. He does his show on Fridays. He's been filling in for me over the summer, but now he's going to have his own show on the USA Network. And this same call-in number, et cetera, but he's going to be doing it on Fridays at 7 p.m., the Michael Cutler Show. And I'm teaming up with him on Friday because I'm going to be at CPAC Florida, first one ever for CPAC in Florida, in Orlando at the convention center, broadcasting live from 3 to 5 p.m. So don't miss that. Of course, if you do miss it, you can always download. I'm going to be interviewing folks throughout the day, and we'll post some of those interviews, video as well as audio, on the website, or at least a link to where they're going to be. And a lot of those will probably be on YouTube, the video interviews that I do, and then we'll be broadcasting live for 2 hours. So Michael will be manning the switchboard and talking about some different things as I round up people to be interviewed, whether they be candidates, existing politicians, Tea Party leaders, just people wandering around. Now, I know a lot of people in Central Florida, although we're going to have people coming from all over Florida, all over the country. In fact, Susan Bradford, who was a guest on one of our very first shows, wrote the book Lynched. She's going to be there, and I'll be talking with her on Friday. And she's coming in from D.C., so there's going to be plenty of people, not just, you know, politicians and candidates, et cetera, coming in, but people coming in from all over the country. So there's going to be some great interviews. Don't miss it. We'll post information on the website as the specifics, but I'm telling you right now, 3 to 5 p.m. on Friday, live from CPAC in conjunction with Michael Cutler and his show. And, of course, Michael Cutler is going to be moving to 7 p.m. after this Friday, but we have agreed to do it 3 to 5 because that's going to be the optimum time to be grabbing people, interviewing people. Now, at first thing in the morning, 7 a.m. on Friday, I'm going to be at Andrew Breitbart's breakfast presentation, whatever that is, put together in one of the suites that a bunch of the Central Florida Tea Party groups have hosted. So I'll be sitting at the Titusville Patriots table with their president, Don Ford. And, of course, the East Side Tea Party Patriots are going to be there having a table themselves. They invited me to show up there, and I told them I'd be there, but I'm going to be sitting at the Titusville Patriots table. I was one of the first members of that group, and it's a fantastic organization and group located in the Space Coast right across from NASA Kennedy Space Center. So you got to like that. And, of course, we got a good friend today with us, Dick Bierenbach. Dick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Tom. Thank you. How are you?
Well, it's glad, good to have you with us, and you've brought us another fantastic guest, Rose Bailey, who's going to talk to us about Monsanto, the organization. We're just going to pick her brain on the details and, you know, whatever she can tell us about it. I found out about Monsanto and their, if you want to call it, sort of a scheme as well as monopoly on our food supply. Now, not all food. It's, you know, you're talking corn and potatoes and I can't remember what else, but she'll explain it to us. And what they're doing with their genetically engineered seeds that are creating genetically engineered foods. And so I believe Rose is on the line with us. Rose, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us today. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in this investigation of Monsanto and what's going on with our food supply.
Well, I guess it started about 2 years ago. And I was on a Tea Party meeting, and someone says, "Do you know anything? Who knows anything about Agenda 21?" I never heard of Agenda 21. So what I did, I started doing investigating from that day forward. And then I met up with the girls over in Lakeland, Agenda 21 today. I went to their conference over there, and I was so impressed by them. I thought, wow, maybe we can have a conference over here on the down at the Boca or Deerfield area, you know, on the east side of Florida. So that's how I started networking. I thought, okay, so we went ahead on October 22nd, we're going to have a conference on Agenda 21. And my talk is going to be on Monsanto and the seed and how they're controlling the food of the world, which they're doing.
Wow. Okay. Now, I did a little bit of research on this, and somebody had enlightened me into this several months ago. It was actually a farmer out in California, and he explained this to me. It was a nice lady that I was trying to recruit to join the network as a broadcaster, and I, for the life of me, I can't remember her name, but she was interested possibly in starting a radio show herself on the network, but certainly I wanted to have her come on the radio show. Never got around to scheduling that, but I think we're going to have to do that now. But she was the first one to mention Monsanto to me, and so in my initial research, just looking at it, the deal behind this genetically engineered, these seeds are that they're patented or copyrighted or whatever, I guess they're patented. So if you're a farmer and you buy those seeds, and they may be very, very, create very good crops, but if you buy those seeds, you can't then take seeds or product that grows and then replant it. You have to keep buying new seeds for them because they're patented, and they own the rights to those crops, essentially. So you have to keep buying it. And the scheme is to get farmers all over the world dependent on them. I mean, this sounds like a business plan, great, but if they're in collusion with, you know, Agenda 21 or any other kind of conspiracy, then it's not good. We're going to have farmers that are reliant on these crops or being able to grow these crops on a company that can at will say, you know what, we're only going to give you so much, or we're only going to give you this now. And they're going to control the world's food supply. I mean, you know, from a business standpoint, that sounds great. They're going to make a lot of money, but they also are going to exert a tremendous amount of control. And then when you look at governments getting involved, the collusion between a government and Monsanto is that they can control the world. If you control food, you can control the world to some degree,
that's
or to
exactly
a great degree. So
exactly. So
it looks like, I thought I saw something that was sent out by one of the farmers associations basically saying, start planting your own crops, stop buying Monsanto. Is that correct?
Yes. But the only thing is, if Monsanto has a crop and the seeds blow over to the non-genetic crops, then that will pick, they'll actually pick up Monsanto's seed. And then Monsanto ends up suing the farmers, saying that they're stealing their seeds. And it's a real big issue, everything about the farming right now.
Yeah, it sounds like they're sort of a creepy organization. I mean, I understand, you know, every business would like to have a lock on their niche, you know, whatever it is they're doing. But this is important. People need food, and they need, you know, the basics, the staples that we rely on. And, you know, I envy people that have enough property that they can plant their own garden and rely on their own food to a certain degree. You know, the Mormon Church is always promoting, have a year's supply of food, have a year's supply of food. And there's lots of organizations out there. You can do a search for a year's supply of food and find all kinds of organizations that can provide you with everything from all ready to go, just buy it, and that's going to be expensive, to how to do that, how to buy buckets and buckets of wheat and a hand wheat grinder and other things so that you can provide for yourself if the worst happens, you know.
That's exactly, I do have that, and I do have the Mormon list, and I have been buying my extra food. But I think the most important thing, one of the most important things, is the fact what they're doing as far as the GMOs, and they're breeding the different DNA, like a mate with a pig with another pig that comes out to be a pig. But now what they're doing is they're breeding offspring like of a horse with a donkey that comes out to be a mule, and a mule is sterile. So then they have spider genes that were inserted into goat DNA in the hopes that the goat milk would contain spider web protein, would you believe, for use in bulletproof vests. And that's an ongoing experiment right now.
Wow.
So
it's one thing if you're trying to provide something better. And I think most entrepreneurs, most inventors look for a way to create something that the market will go, hey, that's great. And then, you know, they get wealthy, they sell it, they sell their idea, et cetera. It's another thing when you're involved in trying to control an entire market. And food is just such an important part of, you know, we need it. It's like air. It's sort of like, you know, climate change. If we can control the air, if we control the environment, or not control it, but say we can control it by controlling you, then we have an excuse to control you. It's the new communism. It's really what it is. Yeah. So, okay. Now, go ahead, Dick.
A lot of people think of Monsanto as basically a food company because they're hearing so much about Monsanto seeds and stuff. Monsanto is actually a chemical company, and some of their previous products are Agent Orange, DDT, PCBs, and other toxins, which at the time they told us were safe, and of course now today we know that they're not. Also, the problem with Monsanto's seeds is they cause what they're classifying as a super weed that the farmers can't get rid of, and they have to go through a lot more expense so they can even harvest their crops once they're using these seeds.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting prospect, and I don't know enough about it other than, you know, what we just talked about. I think there was another aspect to this that got my attention, that not only are they, you know, patenting their seeds, and then you can't just, you know, then replant and utilize the crops. I mean, for example, if you go to Kmart or Walmart or anywhere, a nursery, and buy some seeds and plant them yourself, you can then kind of keep cultivating those crops and grow more and more. You don't have to go back and keep buying seeds. You can do whatever you own those crops now. But for them, whatever grows up, the seeds that are in it, they still own. And you can't use those. And I think that's crazy. I mean, that's where I would just say, you know, no thank you. I will find some seeds somewhere else. Now, I've seen organizations that sell seeds that I don't know if they're Monsanto or not. And the idea is start saving up seeds. Now, I didn't look at the Monsanto tie into this. Rather, they were saying, hey, if Armageddon hits, you've got some seeds, quality seeds that you can plant and grow your own food. Had no idea that maybe what they're really saying is Monsanto is going to, you know, try and control too big a part of the agriculture across the world, and you need these seeds. When you have seeds like this that you can grow your own crops, your own food, it's worth gold. It's the equivalent of bars of gold because nobody's going to have that stuff. And I think they also, these services, now I'm going to have to look into this because I'm not promoting this in any way, but they have a service that they will maintain those seeds in their usable format for you, basically like in a vault or whatever, and then when you want them, you get them. Now, I think if Armageddon hits, you're not getting anything from anybody. You're not getting into your bank. You're not getting into anything. So it may be the kind of thing that you want to purchase now and maintain in a way that is usable, and or if you have some land, start planting some crops. Now, I also realize if things get really ugly, people are just going to walk onto your property and start grabbing your tomatoes and carrots and everything else. So that could be a bit of a problem. But, yeah, hopefully we just never get to that point. We'll keep our fingers crossed. If we get rid of Obama, then I'm feeling a lot more safe about the future of our country and in the world, in fact. So, go ahead.
Which one of us? Okay, this
Ann,
is Ann Bierenbaum.
Hi, Ann. How are you today?
I kind of like to. I'm fine, and I would like to address Rose in a kind of a conversation back and forth, and some of the things that I've read about GMOs, we call them, genetically modified organisms that are in our food, and I've seen some articles that accidentally. There were two different kinds of feed left out. And part of the article said that the mice would not even touch the GMO grain. And then they were going to feed this grain to animals, pigs, sheep, cows, that sort of thing. They wouldn't eat it. And when they were force-fed it, Some of them died, and the rest of them miscarried or gave birth to terribly deformed
offspring.
Yeah. Okay, so 45%, you're losing 45% of the next generation. Basically, it's killing, starting to kill off our animals. And have you heard about that, Rose? Have you?
Yes. Yes, I have. They did the research, like you said, and they put the genetic modified seeds in one and the regular in the other, and the animals would not go to the genetically modified ones. They went to the other ones instead, and they were animals in the wild.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Interesting.
Okay,
well,
this is more than just a monopoly on the food. This is dangerous to our whole generational food line, whether it be vegetable, animal, and they're feeding us this stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, they say that there was one year that I'm trying the corn, that it had, they injected human DNA into the corn, and it ended up that there wasn't any, it was produced vermicide. So they really are playing games with our food and the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And then they change our DNA. So that's kind of scary.
Yes,
yeah.
Did you get the second email I sent you?
Are you talking to me, Dick?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's,
I got it.
It's Natural News, and it's an organic group that had filed a lawsuit against Monsanto.
Yes. You want to go ahead
okay,
and explain it?
Yeah, you can, but I was going to say, if you scroll down about halfway, there's an article there about four foods to never eat, and one of them is corn on the cob.
Yeah, I know.
I eat that all the time.
I have a tabletop I'm going to do on October 22nd, and my husband put a picture of, would you believe, George Bush eating corn on the cob.
Maybe that would explain, Dick, why I've got another head growing out of my right shoulder.
That could be, yes.
But I thought, hey, two heads are better than one, right? So maybe I'll be smarter. I don't know.
You have to wonder if animals will not eat this, if they force feed it into the animals, it's doing something to their bodies. Now you slaughter those animals and you feed them to people, and you feed people the crops that were grown with these chemicals. What's that going to do to us?
Nothing good.
Children are more susceptible too because of the young body. So, and they're talking about that it's going to make them antibiotics resistant for diseases. So it is it's a big issue. Monsanto is doing a good job, let me tell you.
Well,
and, Europe picked them up. So Europe's the smartest one. Austria, France, Greece, Hungary, Luxembourg. They just no, get out.
Yeah, I found articles that talk about different countries that have, you know, banned their pesticides or herbicides, and I haven't seen it about the food or seeds or anything, but like the Roundup pesticide or herbicide, you know, to get rid of weeds and that kind of thing. So I haven't taken the time, quite honestly, to fact check some of this stuff, but like I said, a lady that I know and respect out in California that lives on a farm, she brought it up first, and she said she knew quite a bit about it. So I should have taken her up on this and brought her on the show. But you know, we're finding out from you, Rose, that this is the game they're playing. Now, what's the future hold? What do you think is going on with farmers? What are you getting a sense of that farmers in the U.S. are going to do about this?
Well, from the articles that I've been reading, they're trying to sue Monsanto, and we'll see how effective that's going to be. Let's see, because most of the time they said that when farmers have sued Monsanto, Monsanto has won. So we'll see what happens now. So
well,
there's like 20.
Yeah. We know that we've got some collusion among. It's not just this administration, but we're seeing it to a greater degree than we've seen in, I think, many years, just the Fast and Furious whole issue going on here. Article came out today clearly tying Eric Holder to knowledge of Fast and Furious. And we know that when the Black Panthers did their thing to try and intimidate, you know, elderly to not come and vote because they had, you know, they figure, well, white elderly people voting are probably not going to vote Democrat. You never know. But anyways, just trying to intimidate people. Didn't want to take that case up. And then I saw a video clip of Eric Holder basically saying that, you know, hey, listen, you know, compare this little event with the Black Panthers to, you know, what blacks have had to go through, what my people, he says, my people. You know what, scumbag? How about Americans? Stop talking about your people. Stop crybabying left and right about blacks being persecuted for eternity and on and on. You're just keeping it all alive. And then when we've got a group like the Black Panthers, I don't care what color their skin is. What they did was an absolute violation of civil rights, the Constitution, and on and on, and you're just going to step aside because of their skin color. So we see the biggest racism coming out of this administration that we've ever seen, that we've seen in our, you know, modern lifetimes, going back to a long time ago when it was maybe reversed, but we're now seeing the opposite of that. So we've got a very corrupt administration. I wouldn't put anything past them, and you're right. If farmers are going after Monsanto, they're probably not going to get too far, not with this administration and this attorney general who is extremely corrupt.
Well, the farmers that actually describe Monsanto as being like Gestapo or a mafia, and right now Monsanto, they're going to try to do what they call a Terminator technology on a wide-scale basis, and what it is, it's genetically modified to self-destruct. So in other words, the seeds and the forthcoming crops are sterile, which means the farmers must buy seeds from them the next year. So, yeah, they're in total control if it continues like this, and they make the farmers sign agreements and promising not to save their seeds and sell them to other farmers. So farmers must buy the new seeds every year.
Yeah, well, I saw an article where they sold some cotton seeds to farmers in India, telling them that they would do much better because they were genetically engineered, and they turned out to be a total bust, much worse than the cotton they were already growing. So they bought all of this expensive seed and then didn't do them any good. Actually, they lost money, a lot of money. So, you know, if this all stuff, you know, I'll research this some more. I'm going to call this lady out in California and see what kind of evidence she's got that she can provide us, and we'll put this on the website and put this out again in some future shows, but let people know where the real evidence is. But she seemed to know, and, you know, it's tough when you read articles on the Internet. You have to take stuff with a grain of salt, but there's an awful lot on there, and I don't see a whole lot of articles saying, you know, that Monsanto is actually a saintly organization. These are all a bunch of lies. There's none of that on there that I've found. So it leads me to believe that there is certainly a lot of truth to what we're reading and hearing about what's going on with them. So I don't know. I thank goodness I don't have any corn on the cob to eat tonight. I just ate some last night. I guess is canned corn better? Corn from Guatemala?
organic grown corn. I don't do anything but organic grown corn, and now there's a question about wheat. And also, there was some sort of an agreement with Monsanto to start doing something with genetically engineering alfalfa, which they feed to all the animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and they do not have to put this genetically modified stuff on any labels. So we this is a big problem we're facing in the future.
Yeah, and that's true. That's one of the things that I read was that when you go buy food at the grocery store, they don't have to label it as genetically altered, you know, food. I guess the reasoning is, well, the seeds may have been, but the food isn't been. Well, the food comes from genetically altered seed, but the government has colluded to cover that up so that we don't know. It'd be nice if it were a requirement so that every time you pick up a can of vegetables or some fresh vegetables, there has to be a sign there saying that this came from genetically altered. Then you could pick and choose, and that would quickly drive them out of business.
Rose, can you explain something to me? The farmers that have used these seeds and seen the problems that they cause with weeds and everything else, what form of, what's Monsanto doing to force these people into buying their seeds in the first place? Why don't they just say, eat your seeds yourself, we're going to grow our own stuff?
Because they make it... Just like everything else the government does, it's a better way to do things. They grow faster. you won't have to hire as many for labor because you don't have to weed. The crops will be more abundant, and they keep on telling the farmers that, and the farmers, oh, it's great. You know, I'm going to have twice as much as I had last year with less people working for me. And what's happening now is the seeds or the crops itself is becoming where they have to get stronger and stronger. Help me out here as far as the spraying. So it's not killing the weeds. So they're getting stronger and stronger with one. It's called the control. I'm sorry. I'm losing it tonight.
That's okay.
No, it's there's so much to this thing, and I know I've only scratched the surface.
We all
need to learn more.
Can I just on something really quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Paula.
Just in case people are just joining, when we say genetically modified, I'm reading off something I came across, so, you know, bear with me. When we say genetically modified, we mean an organism whose genetic code had foreign genes inserted into it through genetic engineering. The process of genetic engineering tears down cell barriers in order to make genetic combinations that would have never happened in nature. It's used in food and agriculture since the 1990s, and there are actually tens of millions of hectares of farmland planted with genetically modified crops in the world. The great majority of them are only in four countries, according to this article. Here in the United States, in Canada, Brazil, and Argentina. And almost all of the crops are soy and corn. The rest are mostly cotton and canola. These genetically modified crops do not yield more than their conventional non-GM counterparts. They are not more nutritional and do not use less toxic agrochemicals. The majority were altered to be immune to a herbicide called Roundup, a product of Monsanto, and they are thus known as Roundup Ready. The rest produce their own pesticide and are known as BT crops. The soy and corn are used to make, among other things, flour, starch, cooking oil, high fructose corn syrup, biofuels, and feed for the farm animals that give us meat, eggs, and dairy. It's a fairly long article, but it's recent. It's from today. And it's written by Carmelo Ruiz Marrero. Now, what happened was the U.S.-based Monsanto company had announced in June of this year that it would increase its activities in Puerto Rico. The corporation is investing $4.3 million in the construction of a 20,000-square-foot laboratory for corn and cottonseed development in the southern municipality of Juana Díaz.
Interesting.
Wow.
Well, I can tell you this. You know, I travel all over the place, and I've had – one of the things I like to buy when I'm in Madrid, when I go to the grocery store, is their carrots. Oh, they're so sweet and delicious, and you don't even need to peel them. No need to peel them. Just basically clean them off. Eat them. They're delicious. Down in South America, in Chile, they're famous for their Haas avocados. They're much bigger, much tastier than the ones we grow here. I don't want to, you know, I lived in California. We've got lots of avocado growers out there, but I don't know why it is, but it's just really, really delicious corn in a lot of the countries in Latin America and South America. It's much bigger. The kernels are huge. They call it choclo, because that's what they call it. They don't call it maize or maize or whatever it is that is the term for corn. It's different because it's bigger and it's very tasty. It's delicious. And you see a lot of differences as you travel around the world with food, and it sometimes makes you wonder, what is it we're doing to our own crops in the U.S.? Is it just that's just the way it is? But I see things all the time that are bigger, they're more flavorful, more juicy, on and on, in a lot of these countries. And, you know, like I go down for breakfast in a hotel that I'm staying at, and they'll have fresh fruit. Much of the fruit that we grow here in the U.S., and yet it's juicier, sweeter, and you know, so I don't know what the answer is, but I see differences. And I think part of that may be the rush, as you said, Rose, the rush to produce it faster. We're impatient. We want it now. We want that corn to grow faster. Well, here's a perfect example. I picked pineapples. I know I've said this before. Don't laugh, but I picked pineapples when I was 16 in Hawaii on the island of Maui for the entire summer. And it was a job. I was hired by this company to go and do that for the summer. It was kind of fun, you know, spending your whole summer in Hawaii, and then we got to tour the islands afterwards as part of the deal. But one of the things they did was they sprayed the pineapples with some kind of chemical that made them ripen faster. So it wasn't that it made them grow any faster, but it made them ripen faster. And there were also pineapples that did not look ripe. When you go to the grocery store, well, first of all, I'll tell you, when you go to the grocery store, what you see sitting on that shelf is not what I was picking. It's a world of difference, a real pineapple right off the vine. But we would pick stuff. This was all for canning. This wasn't for going on the grocery store shelf, in the grocery store as a fresh pineapple. It was all for canning. So it was about getting it to the cannery faster. And the pineapples that were ripening faster, they did not have the same color, the same hue that you see when you go to buy a pineapple, a whole pineapple, and cut it up yourself. They looked totally unripe, just like you know, maybe a green tomato, but it's supposed to be a red tomato when it's growing, you know, or some other fruit or vegetable that you might look at and go, oh, that's not ripe yet. They did not look ripe, but there was a way to tell if they were ripe by flicking them with a finger, you know, and listening to the sound. But these things were so sweet and delicious, but yet they were using a chemical to speed the ripening process so that they could get them to the cannery faster. And they would assign us which fields to go pick in. We wouldn't go pick until they had already determined which were ready to be picked. But I'm telling you, these pineapples did not look ripe. They did not look ready to can, and yet they were because of the chemicals. Interesting. Or not.
With the standard process of raising crops and stuff, something I've heard ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, by the 4th of July, the corn will be knee-high. And that is using standard fertilizers, you know, weed killers and stuff like this,
yeah,
to keep the field open. You don't, nothing to alter the corn. The farmers wanted the crops to be knee-high by the 4th of July, and that meant they were going to have a good crop and get it in time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we know that that stuff's going on. We also know that, you know, you look at kids today, how come they're so much taller than we were, or, you know, our parents or grandparents? We know it's the steroids and the chemicals and everything they do to grow the livestock faster so they can get it on the store shelf. You know, the best place in the world to eat a piece of steak is Argentina. And the reason is they do not do anything to speed up the process with their cattle. They let them, you know, range feed. And when they're ready, then they, and I'm telling you, the taste of that beef is so much better than what you get in the States. Yeah, there's some good stuff in the States, but that's when you buy a really expensive piece of beef and probably not even available at the grocery store, maybe at a butcher, or in a restaurant that can get their hands on something that hasn't been infused and pushed and prodded to grow faster so that it can then get on the shelf. So we're impatient. We don't wait. I see plenty of these countries, the people are much more laid back. It's a cultural thing. And they wait for the food to be ready, and therefore the food is bigger, tastier, juicier, and livestock is tastier, healthier. And but I guess the side story to this is that our kids are huge now. You know, you go walking through the mall and look at the kids that are there on the Saturday afternoon, you know, doing the kid thing, the mall thing, and they're all 7 feet tall. You know, there's the advantage, you know. I don't know where the what is going to happen on down the road with all this, but it can't keep going like that. But we got big kids now. Oh, well. Well, Rose, what else should we know about Monsanto? Anything else we're leaving out here or the people ought to pay attention to? Or is there a website they can go to? Do you have a website? What would you recommend to people to do to keep their tabs on this?
I'll say what I just pulled up Monsanto itself, and there's a whole list of Monsanto, the evil company. Then it goes the good part of Monsanto, saying how good Monsanto is and what they're doing for our nation and the world itself and as far as the growing of the food. Just put in Monsanto and you can pull them all up and pick and choose which one you want. And I did the one that Dick gave me, and I think it was, let me see if you just bear with me a second. 671, and whatever one he sent me, that's the one I go to also. So that's awful. I don't have it in front of me. Sorry about that. Dick, what was that email you sent me? And oh, here it is, naturalnews.com. I do apologize, Tom. I'm not a farmer. I just got involved in all this, and the more I dwell into it, the more I see, even as far as the salmon with the GMOs, and we don't even know what we're eating anymore. The cows are eating the corn, and the corn is eating the Monsanto seeds, and it just goes on, and it's scary. The whole thing is scary. So that's all I did. I did the best I could. Yeah.
What I did with my browser, I put in lawsuits against Monsanto. Obviously, if you just look at Monsanto, they're going to make themselves look good. We're the saviors of the earth. We're going to feed all you people. Sit back and trust us. Believe me. You know, we heard the same stuff from a guy that's sitting in the White House right now.
Yeah, trust me.
If you look at the lawsuits against Monsanto, you're going to see what people are saying about them and what they see, which is going to give you a truer picture of what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I also go to YouTube Monsanto, and you'll pull up all the videos, too. Some of them are pretty interesting. With one girl, she was a high school girl, and I was going to show it at the meeting on October 22nd, but it actually goes into detail about Agent Orange, and it showed disfigured babies and fetus that were disfigured because of Agent Orange and what's done to all the people over there in Vietnam. So I decided not to show that film, but if you put up the YouTube, this one, Santa, it's there.
Yeah.
It is scary.
Okay. Well, good. Well, Rose, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for the insight, and we'll follow up on this and, you know, send us any information, any new information you may come up with. Just get that to Dick, and we'll get that on the show and talk about that. And if something, you know, really big happens, we'll get you back on the show to talk about it. But hopefully this is something that we're going to be able to, you know, the information age is great. We find out things and we can actually maybe take some action. I realize the masses probably have no idea, but there are ways to inform them because of so many forms of information now. So that's the good news. But in any case, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And we'll look forward to following up on this.
Thank you. Thanks, both.
Yeah. All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Rose.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A couple things I want to cover before we call it a day. Now, I want to remind everybody, you're going to be at CPAC on Friday, 3 to 5, broadcasting with Michael Cutler. He'll be live from his studio office in New York, and I'll be broadcasting live from the actual convention center in Orlando at the Orange County Convention Center. So 3 to 5, we'll be broadcasting, interviewing people, talking about what's going on, what I've seen up to that point during the day. I'll also be doing interviews throughout the day with folks that we'll be posting on the website, links to it, YouTube and other sites that we own, as well as Facebook. We'll be Twittering it out about that, and I'll probably be Twittering all day long about stuff that's going on. So pay attention to that. If you're not following us on Twitter, go to The American Hour, The American Hour, all one word on Twitter. Look for that, and then you'll find us. And I put stuff out all day, not all day, every day, just about. I'm putting stuff out. And just to give you a little slice of some of the stuff I put out in the last couple of days so you have an idea, I generally link to articles that have, I think, important information. So here's one that I put out today. Now, you have to pardon my sarcasm. If you don't like it, I apologize. But this is just a way to generate some attention, and you have to understand that. But the deceiver-in-chief wants credit for reducing debt that will never be incurred. He's talking about us getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan. That's his debt reduction. That's like me saying, Dick, I'm not going to buy a Mercedes next year. I just saved $80,000, so now I can run my credit cards up another $80,000. Pat on the back. That's what this guy's doing. So that's why I put that out there. And there's a link to the article that talks precisely about all of his deficit reduction that's just a scam. It's an absolute scam. Okay. And for you liberals out there that say, oh, well, Tom, you know, Republicans do that too. I don't care who does it to. I care about what's going on today. That's what we care about. That's what this is all about, what's going on today. I don't care if he's a Republican. I don't care if he's George Bush. I don't care if he's George Washington. I want to stop, period. I don't care who it is. He's the one that's doing it today. Next one. The schmuck in chief waves in a group photo. His hand is in front of a guy. I don't even know who it is standing next to him. It's a group photo at the UN, and he's waving. I mean, is this the dumbest guy in the world? You don't stand in a group photo and wave. This is supposed to be – these are all leaders of the world. You know, you got to have some poise. This guy is not a leader. Yeah, he's waving. Hi, everybody. I mean, gosh, he looks like Gomer Pyle or something in the picture. He really looks dorky. So this is what I said. Schmuck in chief waves in a group photo. He totally looks like a dork. And there's the link. So click on that. It's actually on MSNBC website.
Guys, that's not good. He's hiding the poor man.
You go look at that. He does look like a dork. He looks like a dork. I can't help it.
He is a dork.
Well, he may be a dork, but even if you really like him, he looks like, hey, any of us could do that. If any of us were in that same position did it, you'd say, Tom, you look like a total dork waving in that, you know, group photo with the UN. It would be true. So anyways, he just doesn't get it. Let's see. CEO tells Congress he was fired for hiring too many people. Can you believe that? Our government has got regulation in place to stop you from hiring people. Oh, no, you can't do that. You're hiring too many people. It's got to stop. So anyways, that's a little taste of some of the stuff. I retweet a lot of people that I follow, some real patriots out there and smart people, really smart people, like Mark Ross. Go to Mark Ross 67 on Twitter, and you'll see he puts out some great stuff. But, you know, here's one of the things. He said, on the 19th, he said, governments can sure do a lot of harmful things to their country if they get enough useful idiots to continue believing their lies. Yep. And so along that theme, I wanted to talk about, Obama's Twitter disaster. You guys are familiar with the fact that they started his campaign. It's paid for by his campaign called Attack Watch. It's a website called Attack Watch. And the idea is we want you to report and tattletale on your neighbors, your boss, your company, anybody out there that you see, your parents, if they're spreading lies and smears about the president. Well, the reality is what they want to stop is us from telling the truth about this president. But along the lines of the useful idiots, here's what people have been Twittering out there. A guy identified as John G. announced there's a new Twitter account making President Obama look like a creep, a creepy authoritarian nut job. It's at Attack Watch. So I've been putting out all of my tweets about the president and then including the at symbol Attack Watch, because then it goes to their account. It's basically mentions them, and they can see it. So they want me to report people that are lying about the president, so I'm actually sending them all kinds of information that is truth about the president, but it's not very flattering. Let's see. Here's another user identifying himself as Matt. Said, "Someone." Now, here's the useful idiot. Someone told me that the stimulus didn't keep employment below 8%. That's not true, is it? Can you believe that, Paula, that there's somebody out there that thinks unemployment's below 8% and that it's a lie, it's a smear of the president that unemployment's at 9.1%? My gosh, these are the useful idiots and the drones out there that go, oh, I like Obama. He's a great guy. Yeah. Well, you're not paying attention. So let's see another one. Now, this is sarcasm. This is the kind of stuff I put out there. Said, I saw six ATMs in an alley killing a job. Because you remember the president said that it's ATMs and kiosks, check-in kiosks at airports that have killed jobs. We talked about this on a show before, but hey, Obama, he's my age. There were ATMs at banks when you and I were in college, but apparently you don't remember that or didn't have an account or you didn't have any money or you didn't have to pay for anything. I don't know what the deal is, but there were ATMs at banks when we were in college, and then when I went into the Navy after I graduated and he went out community agitating, there were ATMs on base and everywhere. So to say, first of all, there are people that repair ATMs, people install ATMs, people maintain ATMs, job creation and manufacture ATMs, job creation, quality job creation. So
you're leaving out some important people. You're leaving out the supporters of Obama who go out and steal those machines.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah, the people that vote for him that go and steal them or break into them, et cetera.
Yes.
So there's you know, Oh, here's one. Here's somebody put it out. It's like, and they referenced the Tac Watch on Twitter. Hey, kids, are mommy and daddy talking bad about Obama? Be sure to report them. So anyway, talk about a creepy website. I mean, just what are we, living in Nazi Germany? Okay, we got a website set up so that you can report people for lying about the president. I don't think anybody's lying about him. They're all telling the truth. And the truth hurts this president because he is a liar, a deceiver, and incompetent. That's the bottom line. There's just way too much information out there.
You hit the bell right on the right spot. That's exactly what Hitler followed.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I mean, this is a guy who before he got elected, a week before he got elected, said we need to create a civilian security force as big and as well-funded as the military. Now, how big would that security force be? Huge. Huge. And let's see, who in the past has had security, civilian security forces like that? Hitler, the SS, Stalin, I don't remember what they were called. You got the Republican Guard in Iran, and then Hussein. Saddam Hussein had a guard, you know, Chavez and Castro, they all had those groups. So here's a guy who's about to become president of the United States saying, we need something like those dictators all had. Yeah, exactly. That's to keep you in power, you jerk. Anyway, a couple articles I want to point people to, and then we'll wrap things up, is go to the American Thinker today. Article called All Entitlements Are Not Created Equal. Really good primer on the history of and just what is going on with Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and guess what? The newest entitlement, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. It doesn't protect patients, and it's not affordable, and it's going to bankrupt this nation. And just like Social Security, you know, we're always talking about, oh, Social Security and Medicare, they're going to bankrupt the country. You know, they got to be reformed, or they're not sustainable, and on and on. We just, a year ago, created a whole new entitlement program that's bigger, much more massive than those all combined. And so, great article. Let's see, it was written by Dean Waldman. Check it out, American Thinker. Go to AmericanThinker.com and check that out. And then, of course, this one is quite disgusting, Fast and Furious. People died. It's got the transcript of the tape that just came out of a dealer and an FBI agent discussing the Fast and Furious situation. And it tells you clearly that the government is colluding or involved in this in terms of trying to cover it up. They knew what was going on. And then you find out that Mexican authorities were told, hey, you know, stay out of the way. We're giving guns to – okay, the bottom line is if we're going to deal with another country and let their government know that this kind of stuff is going on, who's involved in that? State Department. Hillary Clinton. And then the other thing that this guy in the article talks about is that – Elena Kagan, who's now in the Supreme Court, if you really want to figure out who probably thought this up, would have had the inside knowledge on how to put something like this whole plan together, et cetera, and he makes a good case for it. Doesn't mean it's true. He has no information, any evidence of that, but makes the case that Elena Kagan, our newest Supreme Court justice, could very well have been behind this very whole plan. So, interesting article. I'll tell you where you can go to. Go to humanevents.com and look for Fast and Furious Tapes. And it's really an eye-opener as to what it was written by John Hayward, and it's just disgusting. And this administration is so unbelievably corrupt. I saw somebody the other day go, well, look at the corruption in the Bush administration. I don't care. He's gone. It's done. It's over. And, yes, if I had known about this kind of stuff going on in the Bush administration, I would have been upset about it too, and there were things I was upset about. Why do liberals, Dick, always assume that because I am disgusted by the socialist Marxist president who's destroying our nation, that I somehow was in love with Bush and would vote for him over and over and again if he ran again? It's not true. But that's what liberals have to rely on. They can't talk about substance and what's going on now. They got to go back and okay, let's go back to Jimmy Carter. Let's go back to Woodrow Wilson. Let's go back to FDR. No, they don't want to go back that far. They just want to go back to George Bush. And I'm really quite honestly, you were in the Army. You were a police officer. I am sick and tired of people making excuses, sick and tired of it. And I'm sick and tired of liberals whining and complaining and making excuses and pointing the finger at somebody else versus taking responsibility for their actions. They owned the House, the Senate, and the presidency for 2 years, and what did they do? They crammed stuff down our throat that didn't do anything for this economy. We were promised we'd be out of Gitmo. We'd be promised we'd be out of Iraq by now. We're promised all kinds of things. None of it's happened, and they owned the entire government. They could have made all that happen, and they didn't. So they're hypocrites, they're liars, they're losers, and we're going to get rid of them all. There you go. I'm done.
Amen.
All right. Well, I've been building up for that all day. You start reading the news and you just go, oh, gosh. And then you see these apologists, these liberal apologists for their incompetent, never done anything in his life leader. And it's sickening. It really is sickening. I want somebody to get elected. I don't care what party. I want somebody to get elected that's done something in their life, that's actually achieved something. This guy's so far in over his head. Did you see the speech he made at the UN? What a joke. At one point, the Palestinian ambassador was just hung his head over and was shaking his head in disbelief. Now, that doesn't bother me at all, but people are just looking at this guy going, what an idiot. I mean, he's at the point of his presidency where he's just completely irrelevant, quite honestly, and he's just become a huge joke.
Okay. You, in defense of our president, he said there was going to be a drastic change. Now, he didn't tell us it was going to be for the worse. We never asked him. And there has been a drastic change, so he didn't lie there.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what else he didn't lie about. One of the few things that he came through on was he said he was going to – his election was going to cause the waters to recede. In other words, he's going to fix the environment and clean things up. Now, we haven't actually done anything of significance. We haven't passed his bill for cap and trade and other stuff. So there's nothing that's actually occurred that could have kicked in. And yet, over the last 2 years now, it just came out in the news today, that the water levels, the sea levels – at the beaches and basically around North America have receded. Wow, that's amazing. Uh-huh. But he didn't even do anything. So he did tell the truth, the waters would recede, but he hasn't actually done anything, which really means you're not in control of the climate or the environment or the world. It's ridiculous. It's vain to think that you have some kind of control over this. And we're not going to go down that path. But I thought that was funny. The article said, hey, he actually came through on a promise. The waters have receded. Yeah,
I wish you would try and walk across the ocean.
Yeah, let's see him walk on water. There was actually something that I want to. Let's see if I put it on my phone. This was from a song, and if I don't have it, I thought it was kind of poignant, but. Let's see. I don't think I copied it on my phone. Well, I'm going to look it up real quick. In the meantime, Paula, what would you like to say as we close this out?
As we close this out, a shout out to our troops overseas. We just want, the good Lord to protect them as they protect us and bless them and their families for the selfless acts they perform for us in our time of need. Your families love you and miss you and want you home real soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here's the song from. It's a Ronnie James Dio song. Him, let him rest in peace. He died earlier this year, I think. Anyway, here's what he said. It was a song called "Walk on Water," and basically the lyrics talk about you can't walk on water. But he's talking about a particular individual in this song. And let's see, there were some couple lines I really liked. Oh, here we go. Somebody said we'll make him strong. He can give us all the answers, tell us right from wrong. And I thought, as I was listening to that, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I heard that and I thought, that sounds like the drones that believe in Obama. Oh, and here it comes. Here comes the next, I almost left this off. If you believe it, it's no lie. So, in other words, these liberal drones, as long as you believe it, it doesn't matter whether it is or not. As long as you believe, it's no lie, it's the truth. It has to be the truth. Just believe. That's all you have to do is believe in what these liars and deceivers tell you, and that'll make it so. And there you have the liberal drone. So that's not precisely what Mr. Dio was singing about, but I thought it had certain applicability to today. All right, everybody. Well, we will see you on Friday for CPAC. Dick and Ann, are you going to be attending CPAC at all?
Friday, I'm going to be standing out in the rain with my gun in my hand.
Oh,
shooting
awesome.
At a target, so I've got my qualifications in for the year.
Which gun are you going to be using?
My .40 caliber automatic.
Awesome.
Yes.
All right. Well,
I would use my 357 Magnum, but it's only a six-shooter, and I'm getting old and it's too slow to load.
Yeah, I know what you mean. All right, good. Well, good luck with that, Paul. Have fun at the soccer game, and we'll all be back together, I believe, on the next Monday. We'll talk about CPAC and what's going on. But for everybody else out there, join me and Michael Cutler on Friday, 3 to 5 p.m., live from CPAC. All right, everybody, have a good night.
Good night.
Listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.